Two specialists writing in the Medical Journal of Australia last week described a disease that they claim has increased exponentially in the last 20 years and which can be confused for common or garden indigestion and acid reflux. It's called eosinophilic esophagitis, and it could be you if you have reflux which isn't being helped by the usual acid-reducing treatments. One of the authors was Associate Professor Peter Catalaris, who heads the gastroenterology department at Concord Hospital in Sydney. Welcome to the Health Report, Peter.
Thanks, Norman. Nice to be here.
What's the common story that you get from someone who might have eosinophilic esophagitis?
The common story is a person who has difficulty in swallowing. We call that dysphagia, when the food either doesn't go down easily and needs to be helped along or brought back up, or in fact gets stuck. So people with this problem who don't have it recognised often live with that sort of symptom for a long time before it's appropriately diagnosed.
And what about the symptoms of reflux itself?
Well, that's interesting. Eosinophilic esophagitis is a great mimicker, and it can mimic typical common reflux, as you mentioned. So people can have heartburn and regurgitation and chest pain. Normally, people with reflux don't get too much of that dysphagia, but they can get that as well. So really, it requires a medical evaluation to distinguish the two. And to make it more complex, they do overlap. In other words, reflux is really very common as a condition, and eosinophilic esophagitis is becoming more common, so they often coexist. So they while one's a mimic of the other, they also coexist. So it really needs to be sorted out medically, and that's not so difficult to do once it's thought about.
But you talk in the paper about how this is underdiagnosed, but difficulty swallowing is a red light for any doctor seeing a patient.
Well, it sure is, especially if it happens in someone after a certain age and it's a new onset symptom. But people with this problem often have a long history of just saying every now and then something gets stuck, or they just, they're always the last to finish their dinner, or they're chewing very slowly and they're just managing it. So it's less of a red flag if it's been present for years, but it's certainly a red flag for something very serious if it's just occurred.
So what's actually going on?
So what's happening is we think this is an allergic problem, and we think the trigger is usually something people eat. So it's usually related to some food substance, although there's a theory that it might also be an inhaled substance, what we call an aeroallergen. But mostly we think it's a reaction.
So it's like a gastroenterological version of asthma.
Yeah, it is in a way, because withdrawing agents that are known to offend to trigger this can be a treatment, although not as good as medical therapy. And what happens when people are exposed, if they're susceptible, and it is normally people who have ATP of some sort, hay fever or asthma, is that their esophagus or food pipe gets infiltrated by allergy cells. That's the eosinophils in the name of the disease. And that alters the way the esophagus works so that food doesn't go down easily. The esophagus's motility is altered.
So do you have to have an endoscopy to diagnose it?
Yes, there's no other way. It can be suspected just on symptoms, but you really do have to have an endoscopy, and the endoscopist has to be aware of the condition and not just look, but also take biopsies along the esophagus, and it's the characteristic pathology on the biopsies that gives the diagnosis.
So how do you know what the cause might be, or is that too hard?
Well, it always is too hard, but I guess the best evidence relates to what happens when we exclude certain foods from people's diet, and so some people get better, and then if they're re-challenged, they can relapse. And that makes us think that in most people it is an allergic response to certain foods. The trouble is there's a lot of foods that can trigger it, and it's very hard to exclude those foods long-term, and that's why medical treatment is preferred over long-term dietary exclusions.
Does it predispose to cancer in the same way as, well, it's controversial, but acid reflux is thought to predispose to cancer?
Fortunately, no, it doesn't. Reflux certainly does predispose to cancer, but the overall risk is very small. But EOE, as we call it, is not thought to share that predisposition. The real issue is that it greatly affects people's quality of life because they're scared to eat or can't have certain foods. And there's the danger of food impaction, which can be quite dangerous. And if it's left untreated, the esophagus can stiffen and narrow, so there's now a structural chronic problem that needs, you know, endoscopic dilatations to improve it. So it's not a trivial illness, and it certainly has been under-recognised up until recently.
And so, in other words, the increase is probably along with the general increase in allergies in the community. How do you treat it?
Well, the treatment is one of two options. We've mentioned food exclusion, but only a small minority of people are willing or able to persevere with that, and the results are moderate rather than good. The mainstay of treatment is taking a type of topical steroid that's not absorbed into the whole body, so there's very, very few side effects. And it's like a topical therapy because steroids make eosinophils melt away. And that type of treatment is very effective.
So this is like the inhaled corticosteroids that you take to prevent asthma.
It's interesting you mention that because up until very recently, we actually had to repurpose asthma treatments because there wasn't a purpose design way of getting that exact same medicine into the esophagus. So we used to teach patients how to have a bad asthma technique with their puffers to get it into their esophagus.
So swallowing the puffer rather than inhaling it.
Yeah, but now there's just recently been the development of an oral dispersible form of that medicine, which is so much easier for patients to take. So they just put a little tablet on the tongue and it dissolves, and that goes down to the right place without any repurposing of asthma medication.
So for a health,
and that's been a big change.
So for a health report listener who think they might have this, have a chat with your GP and get an endoscopy.
Oh, very much so. It's a tolerably easy diagnosis once it's considered. Then the management is long-term, but the diagnosis is not difficult if it's thought about.
Peter, thanks for joining us.
It's a pleasure.
Associate Professor Peter Cartellaris is head of the gastroenterology department at Concord Hospital in Sydney.